Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Really quickly, some show notes if you're looking for wrestling in the next couple days. Tonight, All-Star Wrestling in Surrey, British Columbia, APEW in Dale City, California, EWF in Covina, California, Hood Slam in Oakland, California, HPW in Hamilton, Ontario, and RCW in Kirby, Texas. Note that WCWO is off for the next couple of weeks while they do renovations to the Outlaw Arena, so no WCWO tonight. Tomorrow night, WUW at Poblanitas in Bremerton, Washington, where you can find myself, RSW in Fairmont, West Virginia, CCW in Dothan, Alabama, RCCW in Hazel Green, Alabama, ECCW in New Westminster, British Columbia, PWA in Sayward, British Columbia, UEW in Sun Valley, California, PPW in Cooper City, Florida, Wrestle Club, where I will be in a few weeks tomorrow night in Boise, Idaho, IWX in Lexington, Indiana, Pro Wrestling King in Knox, Indiana, WWA in Livermore, Kentucky, MWF in Cary, North Dakota, BPPW in Bristow, Oklahoma, FTW in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, UCW in Salt Lake City, Utah, OSW in Odessa, Texas, AMW in Gray, Tennessee, and WCWC tomorrow, featuring the return of Darren Corbin, Brian Zane, and Casey Carlisle, whom I love. Without further ado, I want to welcome back to the program someone we have had on here before, the voice of Blue Collar Wrestling, MD Lyski. Welcome back to the show.
All right, thank you for having me.
Well, since the last time we had you on the show, Blue Collar Wrestling has been on fire. A lot of great things happening to Blue Collar Wrestling in the last several months. One of the things that has been going on with Blue Collar Wrestling is their affiliation with Fight TV, which sees the promotion airing on the Fight TV app. And periodically, there are even pay-per-view events on the Fight TV app. What can you tell us about what's happening with Blue Collar Wrestling and Fight TV?
Well, on Fight TV app, we're seeing around the world, I think it's 96 countries now, and we're on fire. We've been asked to stay doing our show for the Fight TV app, as compared to some have been canceled. Other shows have been canceled, so I think we're doing pretty good. We seem to be on fire.
Now, you haven't been in the business a terribly long time. What's it been like for you being the voice of the company, the man that the people see every week calling the wrestlers down to the ring, knowing that you're not only in front of the hundreds of fans there at the House of Action, but you're seen by people all across the globe on Fight TV?
Well, it's an honor to be the voice and the face of the company. It's really an honor. like I say, and sometimes, you know, calling some of them guys down the ring can be kind of scary because you got some of them that are pretty big and pretty mean, especially like the Freak Show. They tend to like to have a little fun with me since they're all kind of crazy. They tend to get me in a corner and sign my head and stuff, you know, because I'm bald. So they just think it's a natural canvas for them to sign. So, which is okay, I guess. People pay for their signatures and I get them for free. So
that's fair enough. Now, you mentioned the word mean, and another wrestler at Blue Collar Wrestling that tends to get a little rowdy around you is one Mean Mac Traeger. He has drawn blood from you, from what I remember, in the not-too-distant past. How nervous do you get whenever you see Mean Mac Traeger walk through that curtain?
You get a little nervous. You never know what Mean Mac Traeger is going to do. You know, he is the Pacific Northwest No Limits champion, and so he is very hardcore, very extreme. The time that he drew blood on me was when he shoved my hand down into a table full of tacks. First he asked me, he said, you ever had a match where there was tacks? And I was like, no, I never had a match where there was tacks. And he just grabbed my hand and slammed it on the table. And it was painful. And there was quite a bit of blood. Yes.
Hopefully you got a bonus from the owners of the company for that type of abuse.
That would be nice. Unfortunately, we don't get bonuses for that.
I always insist on hazard pay myself.
Yeah, but not always do you get it.
I give it my level best for sure.
That's right. Well, then you had the sound guy. I don't know if you caught the sound guy with Mean Mac Traeger when the sound guy had a mess up on his music, and I guess Mean Mac Traeger, it was a night that I was not there, unfortunately. I was out, and I guess Mean Mac Traeger hit him over the head with a chair, and he had to get some stitches.
Yes, I heard all about that incident. I was not there either, but that was a little bit extreme, I thought. Now,
yes.
Speaking
that was
of
a little extreme.
People, a little. Speaking of people being injured and having blood involved in things, part of wrestling has always been and will be injuries do happen from time to time. I know sometimes, unfortunately, there's going to be serious injuries. We've seen it at Blue Collar in the past. From your own personal perspective, what's been the scariest injury that you've witnessed?
Oh, I see. That's a tough one there. That one chair shot with the axe that Meat was doing, tried to hit Tommy Celsius with, that had to been really, I mean, he didn't connect with him, thank God. Tommy got out of the way, but that was so close. That was probably one of the most scariest times I've ever encountered. As far as injuries, there's been a few different ones. I don't know if any would stand out, you know, at the top of my head. There was a few, like when we had the No Limits match with Funny Bone in town just last week. I seen Funny Bone fly into a chair and out of the ring at the same time. I seen him go off the top rope and do a double stomp to Mac Traeger through a table. A lot of it's pretty extreme when we get into the No Limits. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to choose from as we go along because it doesn't stop. It gets extreme, very extreme. Sometimes extreme, you got to watch yourself. Sometimes me and the Ding Ding Kid there, the timekeeper, me and him sometimes have to get up out of our chairs and move out of the way because they come towards us, and we like to be prepared to get out of the way because we don't want to be involved in their matches.
You mentioned the No Limits division. That is relatively new. They just had the tournament, and Mean Mac won that title in the last few weeks. For the fans that don't tune in every single week to Fight TV and haven't been to the
North Portland Eagles there for a while. What can you tell the listeners about the No Limit division and what it actually entails?
Well, it actually entails that there is, like it says, there is no limits. That means that he has to be ready to defend his title at pretty much any time. There is no time limit on it. The match can go from a minute to 2, 3, 4 hours, however long it takes, so you have a winner with that one. And like you say, there's no limits. There's no disqualifications whatsoever. You can win in the ring, out of the ring, anywhere, really. It's a very extreme belt to have.
Hopefully they get bonuses for that.
I hope so. Because, a lot of it looks really painful.
I am quite certain that it is. You brought up the name of the Ding 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 Kid, and he is someone that I had an issue with earlier this year. He was getting a bit ahead of himself at one point in time. He seems to have calmed down a bit. He seems to be doing better at his job. But have you ever seen anyone get the reaction the Ding 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 Kid was getting when I was trying to corral him into doing his job properly? The fans really took to that kid for some reason.
Yes, they sure did. Man, they were behind him 100%. I was really surprised at that. I figured, they'd side with official like I would, Now you're ringing the bell too soon. You're jumping the gun, but they were all, everybody's behind him. Didn't you take him on in the ring also?
I did, and Bad Blood hit me with the 25-pound anvil and made me trip on my shoes and then kicked me in the face with a loaded boot. I got a really fast count from him. He was the official. I don't think that legally counts. But,
I don't think it should either.
Now, you sit there with the Ding 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 Kid on a weekly basis. He also is fairly new to the business. When the two of you are sitting there watching every match on the show, are there conversations between the two of you? Are you trying to learn the business from each other as you go? Does one of you offer one type of input that the other doesn't necessarily know about and vice versa?
Yes, we do. We share with each other, and plus we have, for yourself, for instance, if there's something we may not be too positive on, you always share with us also. The officials help out a lot with us, and the owners, so we understand a lot more. Like I say, we're kind of new to it. I've only been doing it for a year, and he's been, I think he might be a little longer. I think he was a cameraman before, because I think, Benini's now, he's the timekeeper. He seems to be doing a good job of it. Like I say, once he's focused on the job itself, so.
And you mentioned the officiating. You yourself briefly tried refereeing before moving on to ring announcing and excelling at that role in the business. There's been a few officials that have become the stalwarts there at Blue Collar Wrestling. You have T-Rex, who's been with the company, I believe, since day one. Myself.
Right.
You have one of my young students, Jacob, that has recently started up there. We've had a couple other pretty good officials pass through the doors in the last year or so. What do you think about the officiating overall that's been happening there at Blue Collar Wrestling? You get to see pretty much every match and every official.
Well, the officiating is great. There's only a few miss-ups where, they're distracted by other wrestlers and things happen, but, you can't hold that against you guys. That's not your fault, because if you don't see it, you can't call it, so that's just the way it goes. But other than that, the officiating there is most excellent. I mean, top notch. Like you say, we also had a few new people in there doing some officiating. They, like you say, you got some that you worked with and everything, and they did really good. I can't argue with it. They're really good at officiating there. So, and they catch pretty much everything that goes on there. So I think it's good.
Also with blue collar wrestling, it's a little bit unusual as far as what most of the independent scene is like, but we have several managers on the roster. You have Kevin Brandt, you have Roy Lovejoy, there's Paul Moonshine. There might be one or two that make sporadic appearances. Managing sort of a lost art in professional wrestling, especially for the big national companies, there's very few. But what do you think of the manager situation there at Blue Collar Wrestling?
Well, the managers are there. They have a certain specific role of what they do for their team. So that they, I think they're all doing a real fine job. You did miss one that he, you know, was a wrestler. He ended up retiring, and now he's the Natural Born Outlaws manager, which is Cowboy Tex Thompson. So that's another manager we got in there. So that's going to be it gets pretty interesting. You got Roy Lovejoy and Kevin Brandt kind of see eye to eye on some things, not always, but most of the time. But both of them, they don't like Paw Moonshine at all. So Paw, he has to be very careful when he's out there. And we always have to keep an eye out for Paw. They're always trying to attack Paw, which distracts JB and ends up sometimes costing JB the match. But, yeah.
Now, Paul Moonshine, for the people unaware, as far as my research could show, he is one of two men that are reverse second generation in this business. Reverse second generation meaning fathers that follow their sons into the business without having previously been involved. The other person that shares that distinction with Paul is John Cena Sr. I don't know if they make much of that at Blue Collar Wrestling, but that might be one of the more accomplished statistics any promotion anywhere could have.
Right. Yes, it's great to have a father and son team there. Actually, it just shows you our skill levels and how professional we actually are. That you can actually have a father and son team there and not have to worry about it.
Absolutely. Fairly recently at Blue Collar, we had a cage match in the main event. Not the first cage match that they've had in the company, but those are held very sporadically. And the cage match might be one of the more dangerous matches in professional wrestling in general, especially there at Blue Collar Wrestling, where the cage fits very tightly on the ring. There's not any room to do very much, not very forgiving, steel cage in place. It's very dangerous. What do you think of the steel cage match as a general rule?
Oh, they are, how do you even put it? They are off the hook. I worry about everybody that goes into the steel cage, just for the simple fact, like you say, it doesn't give, there's not much room there. The last one, we had quite a bit of little blood here and there from people getting their heads, thrown into the cage. They're a scary match. When I was in the ring, I was actually in the ring and calling out the Freak Show to come to the ring. And when they came out there, I kind of realized I was in a bad spot because they came in the ring, which is where I was, inside the cage. Luckily, I reacted fast enough. I got out of there before any harm happened to me.
I often worry for myself whenever I'm in one of those because that thing gets dangerous.
Most definitely.
one of the other divisions in blue collar wrestling that doesn't get as much attention as it probably should be is the women's division. We've had some fantastic female athletes come through the door in the last year. Kelly Klein, Ashley Grace, Casey Carlisle, all challenging Sunny Days for her Pacific Northwest Women's Championship. Sunny Days has dominated that division so far. What do you think of the women's division and all of the great female talent that has come through in the last year?
Oh, man, the women's division is just hot and off the hook. And Sunny Days, you know, that's 100% pure sunshine right there. She lives up to the name of champion. I've watched her win. There's times I was worried, but like I say, she knows her stuff, and she pulls through and gets the win. And I'd like to see some more women come up here and challenge for it, and more. I'd like to see more of the women's matches. We don't get to see it, in my opinion, enough. A lot of it has to do with there's not as many challengers for Sunny Days, and that's what we're trying to find now is a more steady challengers for her to compete with.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he also has questions, so this help you as I pass things along to QT.
Okay.
Sign guy, I'm going to request 3 more minutes of respite because I've got to pull off I-5.
All right. So I will give you 3 minutes. So,
yes, please.
So, MD Leisky, one of the things that a lot of people new to the business like yourself do is they look at a lot of footage and they try to find things that will work for them through other people that they think are very good in that role in the business. Do you watch a lot of footage of other ring announcers, be it contemporary people that are active now or people from the past, and try to find things that they did either right or wrong and apply it to what you're doing?
Well, I do that exactly. I take from the past and from the new. I even watch some of the new shows, like, you know, the WWE and stuff and Impact, and I even watched WCWC, just so I, you know, see how their announcers are doing things. It really helps. And then you got other people in the business too that, you know, through seminars and stuff that help you along the way too, that you can take the seminars and they give you advice and everything. And it helps out a lot. At this last seminar, I found out, I guess I should have my own entrance music. I never really thought about having my own entrance music, but now they're saying I might need my own entrance music. So I was happy coming out to the blue collar theme, but if they want me to have my own, I guess I'll have to find my own entrance music.
Do you think that that's going to be perhaps the song Bad Blood by Taylor Swift?
Well, I don't know about that. It might be.
Someone should use that at Blue Collar Wrestling. Why it's never happened now, I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Now, there's one menace in professional wrestling that pops up from time to time, and he sometimes pops up there in Blue Collar Wrestling. He's faced off with Tex Thompson on a couple of occasions. This masked menace, Darth Carta, he's a thorn in my side, a cancer in this industry. I believe you have introduced him once or twice. What can you tell the fans of your experiences with Darth Carta?
Well, I will tell you this. It was a pleasure to announce him, but he is a very strange individual. In everything he does, even wrestling, he's a little bit strange.
I would say that, and also I hate that idiot.
Well, everybody has their own opinion of him.
I guess, but, you know, if it's anything other than he should be slaughtered, and losing a little bit of faith in humanity. QT, it's been 3 minutes. Are you prepared?
30 more seconds. I'm on exit 111.
All right, so fans, if you're near exit 111, you can go mug QT Vokes. MD Licey, sometimes in wrestling, fans get a little bit rowdy. Sometimes their emotions get to the boiling point. On shows where you've been involved as an announcer, even when you were doing referee work, have you ever been scared at the fans and what they might do as a result of a specific wrestler or a specific result from a match?
There was one time, there was one guy that was really hot down there. He actually threw his beer at one of the wrestlers. And of course, we, you know, the security, our top-notch security guys we got, they were right on top of it and grabbed him and of course made him leave the building because, you know, can't be doing that. No matter what, you know, you don't want to tangle with the wrestlers. Trust me. I mean, they, they're trained to do this stuff and they're fit and they will, they'll clobber you really good. They don't mess around.
As they should not.
Right. So more of it's for protection for the, you know, the fans versus the wrestlers, the security. It's more for the fans than it is the wrestlers. A lot of people think security's there for wrestlers. No, they're there more for the fans to keep the fans safe because, you know, all it takes is one wrong interaction and, you know, then somebody's hurt.
Absolutely. And if someone were to cross the boundaries of that rope and I'm in there, they're pretty much going to lose an eye.
Exactly.
Well, QT, it's been 30 seconds. Are you prepared?
Yes, I am. And I have pulled into a familiar parking lot. I am near a Mexican restaurant where I have done interviews before when I've been forced to pull off. It's at exit 111. Yes. I'm very familiar with this spot. But anyway, hello, man.
How's it going, QT?
Not too bad. I was very impressed, and I happened to be at the June 17th match, and I witnessed the main event, which was a coal miner's glove on a pole match. For our fans that haven't got the results of this match, can you take us through a little bit of what happened in what I believe is a semi-seminal moment in BCW wrestling history? Can you take us through a little bit of this?
Well, it was definitely a brutal match between Lone Star and the champion Zach Winters. They went back and forth trying to get that glove, and Lone Star wasn't letting Zach up there. Eventually, Zach did get up there and get it, and he ended up clobbering Lone Star really good and knocking Lone Star out and getting the victory and retaining his championship.
Now, those coal miners' glove match date back. Now, I'm not sure how – I remember the first coal miners' glove match with Dutch Savage in the 70s. And his usual opponent was a man named Apache Bull Ramis. Do you yourself remember the Apache Bull Ramis Dutch Savage coal miner glove match in Portland?
Now, I don't recall it exactly, but I do remember it happening. I remember a lot of the coal miners glove matches that were down there at the Portland Sports Arena. There's something about the coal miner's glove match. It's a loaded glove, and, yeah, you get hit with that. I'm sure you're going to put your lights out.
Wow. Do you think we will ever see a day where Bad Blood or maybe Just Exciting or maybe Adam Reyes will be in a coal miner's glove match?
There's always possibilities that that could happen. It depends how much of a grudge they get going on.
Now, Sign Guy mentioned overzealous fans. I myself, I would call myself overzealous, but I did happen to probe or test one of your securities at this June 17th event. He did very well, but I did spot a couple of weak chinks in his armor, and I was able to get pretty close to Roy Lovejoy, my nemesis.
Yeah, if you look for it, you'll find spots where they're paying attention to other things, and you can sometimes squeak by them, but they'll catch you in the end.
For some reason, you know, I'm kind of comfortable with the notion of stealing Roy Lovejoy's shoes, but I would never do this with Mean Mac Traeger.
Oh, most definitely not with Mean Mac Traeger. Most definitely not.
Oh, okay. Well, now we are, as a nation, there's been several descriptions of our political, how would you say, tide in America. Recently, about 2 years ago, it has turned, and it some people say that we have never been this sharply divided before. Are you yourself planning to go to a movie that could maybe tie this nation together? That would be Neighbor.
Not that I'm aware of. I can't think of a movie I'd go to on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
Are there any truths to the rumors that you yourself will adopt the theme song, Will You Be My Neighbor, for your entrance music, which you were discussing?
That's another great one. I just may have to.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'd have to check on the copyright for that first, though, you know.
Yes, yes. Now, we recently had on our show a wrestler called Paxton Callaway, and he was one of the larger individuals we have ever had on the show. This guy goes right around 7 feet, 360 pounds, and he already weighed over 300 pounds when he was a freshman in high school. Do you think we will get some of that big talent coming in to Blue Collar Wrestling now that they know we have TV contracts?
Yes, I believe we're going to get more and more coming as we go. We've already got a lot of them that are hitting us up to come work for us, which is really nice. Although we do have a few big men ourselves. You got Big Vicious. I don't know what his height is, but he's a big guy. I know he weighs roughly about 320 to 330. And then you got the Brandt Dynasty's Kodiak. And he's not very tall, but he is a big man. He's like 488 pounds. He is a giant.
That's true. I believe Kodiak could match up with Mr. Callaway in weight. Yes. Now another person that, yeah, kind of tipped, he tipped the scale at more than 300 pounds, but he has slimmed down a lot recently. And you know I'm talking about Buddy Highway, who is now playing linebacker on a semi-professional football team. Have you yourself gone to one of these football games with Buddy Highway when he was playing semi-pro?
No, I have not made it to one of his games yet. I probably will in the future. Yeah, he plays a defensive lineman for the Portland Raiders is what he does. And he's doing a really good job at it from my understanding. I'll have to definitely make it to one of his games so I can catch it. They've been doing really good and winning, so they might as well go see it.
Oh, I thought he was playing linebacker.
No, defensive lineman.
Wow, all right. Now, is he a guard or a tackle?
That part I didn't get that much information out of him.
Oh, okay. I will do some research and see if he is a guard or a tackle or maybe even a nose guard. Yes.
That could be.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, did you yourself participate in wrestling in high school? And if so, was it in Oregon High School?
Yes, it was. When I first started, I was down in Tillamook, learned to wrestle there. And then when I come back up here to Portland, and when I got into Roosevelt High School, I started wrestling there, which was on the same team with Art Barr. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Wow. Now, what weight did Art Barr wrestle?
Oh, God. He was a skinny guy at that point in time. I'm not quite sure what the weight was. I want to say it was like 145 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Now, did Art Barr wrestle like 3 years in high school? Did you have at that time was the ninth grade and junior high?
Well, it was ninth grade. It was high school for us. We didn't have junior high. We had middle school and then we went to high school. But yeah, ninth grade. He was a year ahead of me, and I believe he wrestled all 4 years.
Holy smokes! Now, did you yourself wrestle all 4 years?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. What was your best record, and were you wrestling as a senior? And if so, were you in the 165-pound class?
No, I was in the heavyweight division, but I was the lightest heavyweight there was. And I wrestled my freshman year. I actually wrestled that division as a freshman, JV, and varsity because we had nobody else.
Oh, wow. Okay. No one wanted.
And so as far as what was that?
Oh, go ahead. Go
ahead. Just going to say that, you know, we were just doing what we were supposed to do, and I don't even remember what my record was. I know I won a few, lost a few. At one point in time, we took city, and then we were supposed to go to state, and I actually, because of all the wrestling I was doing, my grades actually dropped, and I had to back out of the wrestling to go to, you know, from state to bring my grades back up. So, and at that point in time, it was like, oh, I think I need to focus on my grades more than, you know, wrestling. So that's when I kind of fell out of the wrestling.
Wow. Okay. All right. How do you think you would have done against Darkness if you could both time travel back in time and be on the same high school team? How would you have done against Darkness?
Oh, I don't know. He's a pretty tough character. I know I would have gave it my all. I can't guarantee I would have won or nothing, but I would give it my all, that's for sure.
Well, okay. All right. Well, now we live in a World Wide Web connected society. What have some of the blogs or overseas blogs about BCW wrestling? Have you got input from some of the Finnish states? Like Finland or Norway or Denmark?
No, I have not received any of the word from them. I think it's BJ Darden is the guy that is control of what happens on that part of it. I haven't really talked to him much on that to see what, you know, like what everybody's saying. But from what I understand, what he's telling us is that everything's good. So, I mean, I got to trust the guy.
No, okay. All right. Well, we recently had a few members from Blue Collar Wrestling make it to the Cauliflower Alley Club. Have you yourself been to the Cauliflower Alley Club, and do you have plans on going this year, next year?
I have not been there yet, and I have plans on going this next upcoming one for next year, yes.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, one of the things that impresses me with Blue Collar Wrestling is the willingness of people to stick around after the event and tear down the ring. That's one of the more important aspects of people willing to pitch in and tear down the ring. Would you agree with this asset?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Totally agree with that. You can't get enough people to help, I'm telling you.
How important is it to have the clean mats? Now, I've heard some horror stories out there, and I've seen several blogs where people have suffered some staph infection. Can you tell us about how important it is for BCW as a medical standpoint to keep the ring clean?
Oh, yeah. It is a top priority for us. We actually have two covers, so when one is, say, like there's some blood on it and stuff, and we get it washed and clean and sterilized, and while we're doing that, we use the other one.
Wow, okay, all right, okay. Now, you spoke about maybe having a theme music. I'd say theme music and mascots go hand in hand. Why is it that blue collar wrestling doesn't have a mascot?
I don't know. That is a good question. I will have to actually ask the owners why we don't have a mascot.
Now, would you like me, QT Votes, to get a contest going in have BCW adopt a mascot? And if we do settle on a mascot, will we get maybe contact a high school in the Portland area to make a wood frame with the mascot and then mount this over the concession stand?
Ooh, that sounds interesting. We probably can do something like that.
I would look forward to in fact, if Darth Carter is out there listening, I would like to get this ball rolling with him to adopt a mascot at Blue Collar Wrestling.
Well, hopefully he's out there listening.
Boy, we can all look forward to that. Yes. Okay.
Right.
Well, can you tell us, maybe give us a hint, this upcoming Sunday in Blue Collar Wrestling, who we might see in action, and hopefully it is Paw Moonshine.
Oh, you want to know about this Sunday, huh? Well, there was a card put up, and I posted a thing about it. But it all kind of, you know, the cards are always subject to change, which I find out real, you know, all the time when I post something that something changes. From what I understand, we were supposed to have Tommy C in a match this Sunday, but I guess he is obviously, I guess, is pretty wounded, beat up pretty bad, so I think he's going to be taking this Sunday off. But I do know that we have the Pacific Northwest television champion, the Brand Dynasty's Brian Armstrong, will be defending his title against Mr. Leon Knight. And we also have the Brand, we also have the Brand Dynasty's Ian Bear taking on the Natural Born Outlaws Lone Star. Then we have another match that's been they have another match that they've kind of went at it a couple different times, but there still is no definitive end to it on who the winner is. We have the person you were talking about just a minute ago, Darkness, taking on the Magnetic Jimmy Boy. So we're hoping to finally have an end to their quarrel, hopefully. And then we have a tag team match as our main, which is going to be the Freak Show's Big Vicious and the Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Champion, Zach Winters, taking on J.B. Moonshine with Paw Moonshine and his partner, the high-flying Just Exciting.
Wow. In your opinion, does Just Exciting remind you of a young Jimmy Snuka?
Oh, yes, he does. Most definitely.
Now, Just Exciting, he cannot be classified as a true heavyweight, maybe not even as a light heavyweight. In your definition, can you give us what you would like to be the cruiserweight division? Because I myself have looked at the BCW roster, and I cannot find any classification for a true cruiserweight.
Yeah, well, I think that's another division we need to bring back. That division kind of faded away on us, and I think that's one that we need to bring back, because definitely Just Exciting fits right in there for the cruiserweight, which I think he'd make one heck of a champion if he was able to pull it off. So, you know, that's something I'll actually have to talk to the owners of BCW about and see if we can bring back the Cruiserweight Championship.
I am going to start an online position to make the Cruiserweight division from the 160-pound limit to the 185. Very strict guidelines, 160 to 185.
Right.
Yes, and well, I would include...
You got some of them, though, that I would take it down to the 145, actually. I'd go to 145, then up.
Well, who have you ever had in blue collar wrestling that has approached the 145 limit and under 150?
Well, when Just Exciting actually first came to us, he was 145. He has, you know, gained some weight since then, and, you know, bulked up muscles and all that. So, you know, where he's 165 now. So, But I'm sure there's a few others that their weight limits are pretty close to that. But, yeah, I guess you could go at 165 and up to, you know, so.
Yes, I think he had several Patty's home plate meals put into him, and he bulked up a little bit. Yes.
No, I believe it. You definitely fill yourself up there at Patty's home plate, that's for sure. And if you haven't tried it, you get in there in the mornings, or you can probably even get there in the afternoon and get it. They have omelets there, and there is an omelet there that is actually named after me. It is called Matt's Philly Cheesesteak Omelet. It was when I was working there, I created the Philly Cheesesteak Omelet, and so she just called it Matt's Philly Cheesesteak Omelet. And most excellent, if you love Philly cheesesteaks, you don't want to miss out on that.
Wow! Philly cheesesteak, that has a long history in the Philadelphia area. Can you tell us what your omelet, what the cut of meat is? Is it a flank steak?
No, actually, we use roast beef with it to make it happen.
Okay. Now, roast beef, is that the cut of meat they call the top round?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us what spices you put on this, and do you marinate this for about a couple hours before you put it in the omelet?
Oh, no. We don't marinate. Everything's done fresh right there on the spot. It's an all-purpose seasoning we use. But you have your mushrooms. We put peppers in it, onions, and, of course, cheese, of course. And, people love it. One time I had Channel 12 Andy Carson in there in the morning, and he was eating it. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. I take it Andy Carson is a local Portland commentator?
No, he is a local Portland news weatherman.
Oh, okay, weatherman. Okay, very good. All right. Now, would you recommend hash browns with your omelet or biscuits and gravy?
It all depends your preference. I love the biscuits and gravy also, but if you get the hash browns, you can also ask them to add a little bit of the country gravy over the top of your hash browns. And that is most excellent also.
Wow, very good. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, I have just got a text message asking me to ask you how your 4th of July was. And did you keep track of Joey Chestnut as he retained his mustard belt at the Coney Island hot dog eating contest?
Okay, well, first off, the 4th of July was excellent. I spent a lot of the time with the BCW owners, one of them at Patty's, at her house, spending the 4th of July with her. She invited a bunch of us over. And as far as watching anybody retain their belt, their mustard belt, no, I did not see that one. I wish I would have, though.
Wow, okay, yes. I heard that he set another record, but there was controversy on some of the counting, and now they think that the counting might go electronic. That's what I heard.
Wow, that would be interesting.
If we had a hot dog eating contest at Blue Collar Wrestling, who would you say immediate leaps into contention as the top three? And would one of them be Big B? Big B, yes.
Oh, yeah, well, the first person out the gate, yes, would be Big V. Then I might say maybe Kodiak. And then, of course, Meat, you know, because he likes meat. So.
Oh, yes, Meat, yes. Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Could you ever see a time where Meat would steal away into the locker room, dip one of these hot dogs in liquid nitrogen, make it rock hard, and then use it as a foreign object on Paw Moonshine?
Yeah, I could see him doing something like that. Meat's a little bit off the wall, doesn't necessarily think absolutely like everybody else does. So, yeah, I could see him doing that.
Yes, he does march to a beat of a different drummer, yes.
Yes, he does.
Now, I have heard that the Northwest will soon see the return and very shortly of Andrea the Giantist.
Well, I don't know. I have not heard that myself.
Oh, okay. You might want to check with Sign Guy after the show and see where he will put in her whereabouts. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I think a seminal moment did occur when Andrea the Giantess did make her debut with BCW. I was fortunate to see that. Yes.
No, you got to see that? I did not get to see that one.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I am going to pull out of exit 111, where I have been broadcasting. Yes.
Thank you, QT. MD Lysky, this time of year, there are a lot of outdoor shows for professional wrestling. Wrestling is unique in that you can set it up pretty much anywhere. There traditionally in BCW has been a few outdoor shows each year. Are outdoor shows something that you enjoy doing, or is it something where you would rather just stay inside?
The outdoor shows are really nice because, you know, it gets you outside. You can interact with more people that way. Plus, you got people that are just driving by or walking by that stop, and you can talk to them and also, you know, get them interested more and get more people to come to the shows. But I prefer the outside just because the inside buildings sometimes can get really stuffy and hot in there.
Obviously, there's a few different logistical changes whenever you go outside. It's going to be a little bit of different atmosphere. You're going to have usually a rougher environment if you go outside of the ring. Heat can be a factor. Humidity can be a factor. Most definitely, you have to keep an eye on the sky, make sure there's no heavy rains coming at you. What do you think has been the most challenging aspect from what you have seen in running an outdoor show?
Like you said, for one, the weather is one of the most things you got to look out for. It's it can be a real pain. It shut down a show in a heartbeat. Other than that, some of our guys get kind of, they like to go extreme on things. So sometimes they get out into traffic and stop traffic, and there was a couple times I think we even had a couple pileups because of what was going on. A couple cars, you have people watching what's going on instead of driving, and caused a couple wrecks. But that's the only thing I worry about the most. One time I guess they were all the way up on the St. John's Bridge battling it out up there on one show, which we have another one actually coming up. I don't remember the exact date of it, but Patty's Home Plate has a classic cruising car show, and we also do a show there at the same time, and we do it outside. It's coming up here, I want to say in August. I'll have to get with you later on and get the date for you so you can let everybody know also.
Absolutely. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, upcoming appearances, social medias, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Well, I'd like to thank all the listeners out there and fans. Also, I'd like to let you know that coming up on July 29th, we have a benefit show going on to help the Ford family. They lost their little daughter. So we're going to be putting on a benefit show. And I believe at the very end of the night, there will be a big battle royal at the end of the show, which you don't want to miss the show anyways, just because all of our benefit shows have been off the hook, literally off the hook. Any benefit show we do, we take it to the max. We give like 120% just because it's a benefit show and we're helping people, and that's what we're all about. So that there, the 29th, definitely make it there. And that's, of course, at the North Portland Eagles Lodge at 7611 North Exeter. Our doors open at 5:30, and the House of Action begins at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. That's every Sunday also. We have live fight TV shows that we do, and we also have our pay-per-views for fight TV that we do, different ones. You can have signs, bring signs down. You can boo them, you can cheer them, you know, just don't get physical with them. Be a great fan, and we love to have fans there. The more you're there, the better. We like to hear you chant our names. If you didn't make it to the last show, that was Funny Bone. I believe he is going to be coming back sometime. I'm not sure exactly when he will be coming back and to face Mean Matt Traeger again, I believe. So when I know more about that exact date, I will definitely let you all know on that one. So that's a show you do not want to miss. Awesome show. Let's see.
Absolutely.
You don't want to miss it. And we probably want to thank our sponsors, of course, you know, Patty from Patty's Home Plate. We have a Don from Fleet Pride. We have a Greg DiMastre from Summer Realty. Let's see. We have John Klein from Portland Production. John Dempsey from Dempsey Solutions. Also Collar and Elbow. I believe we're going to be getting some more new sponsors also. I'm not quite sure how that's working. That's up to the owners to do that, not me. And it's always a pleasure to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil also. I want to thank you guys for having me.
Our pleasure to have you as always, and best of luck to everyone down there in Blue Collar, and always a pleasure to get in the ring when you are ring announcer for sure. I will see you in a couple of weeks. We're actually a little under that, I guess. And definitely want to make sure fans get out there and support the big benefit that MD Leiske mentioned for the Ford family. They are going through a pretty rough time, so we definitely want to support them and raise as much funds as we can to help them out. It's going to be a little more personal of a show than what we're used to giving you on the 29th for sure, but come out and support it. And definitely every Sunday night you can go to 7611 North Exeter, the House of Action in Portland, and watch Blue Collar Wrestling. MD Leiske has done a great job, continues to get better at his craft, so support him and everyone there at Blue Collar Wrestling. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Y.T. Jones makes his way back to the show, and he promises Iron Buddha level shocking news. Been a while since we've had some Iron Buddha level shocking news on the show, but he promises to have it Sunday. Make sure you join us, and we'll talk to you then.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.